book of James, chapter 3. And I normally would read in the New King James Version, but tonight I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover it up. The truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure. It is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and full of good deeds. It shows no favoritism. It is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." You see, guys, true wisdom can be measured by a person's character. Just as you can identify a tree by the type of fruit it produces, you can also evaluate wisdom by the way that you act. Foolishness leads to envy, jealousy, disorder, confusion, while wisdom leads to peace, good fruits, and mercy. What did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 7:17, "Therefore by their fruits you shall what? Know them." You will know them. James is making a comparison here between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is beneath and consistent with bitterness, envy, jealousy, self-seeking, selfish ambitions, and it lies against the truth. It is sensual and it is demonic. What type of fruit does earthly wisdom produce? Well, all you have to do is look at James 3:16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every kind of evil is there. The Bible contains many examples of foolishness of men's wisdom. For instance, the building of the Tower of Babel. Seems like a wise sort of thing to do. But it ended in what? Failure and absolute confusion. It would seem wise for Abraham to go to Egypt when the famine came to Canaan. But the results proved otherwise. King Saul thought it was wise to put his own armor on young David for his battle with Goliath. But God had a different plan. Not a wise thing to do. The disciples thought it was wise to dismiss the crowd and let them find their own food. But Jesus took a few loaves and a few fishes. Well, you know the rest of the story. We find that we have man's wisdom and then we have God's wisdom. The Romans, experts in Acts 27, thought it was wise to leave the port and sail for Rome. Even though Paul disagreed, and the storm that followed proved that Paul's wisdom was better than the expert counsel. They lived to regret it. But the thing is they lived. They lived. All through the Bible, we see man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Listen, there is a wisdom of the world according to 1 Corinthians 1:20-21. Do not confuse the world's knowledge and the world's wisdom. Certainly there is a great deal of knowledge in the world, and we all benefit from it. But there is not much wisdom. Man unlocks the secrets we see of the universe, but he does not know exactly what to do with it. Over and over again we see that in the conflict that man has. The world by its wisdom knew not God, and in his wisdom reject the very gospel of God. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18-25, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For it seems in the wisdom of God that the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks, they seeked after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, became the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Listen, any person enamored with the wisdom of this world ought to read the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians. Sit down and read it. If you're enamored with the wisdom of the world, find out right away that it's going to absolutely come to nothing. Man's wisdoms come from his own reasoning, while God's wisdom comes from revelation. Man's worldly wisdom will come to nothing, while God's wisdom will endure forever. Amen? Because the world has turned from God. It has lost its wisdom. Every increase in man's knowledge only magnifies the problem. And because of man's pride and his great wisdom, he has determined that he does not need God because he can do it himself. Oh, how wrong that he is. How wrong that he is. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. How many times have we come to God in prayer because we're going through a trial, we're going through a hardship, or we're going through some sort of suffering? Trials will bring us to our knees, don't they? They will just flat out bring us to our knees. And there's where God wants you to be, right there, on your knees. I saw a bumper sticker the other day on a car that says, you know, God's internet, you know, God's way of being able to communicate email is knee-mail. And I thought, well, that's pretty clever. Knee-mail. That's what we should be doing. Knee-mail. Many times God has come, excuse me, many times I've come to that place of desperation with God, asking for wisdom. I need his wisdom in making decisions. I need his wisdom in making guidance and direction and discernment and for understanding his word. Oh, how God, give me wisdom, Lord. But what does God's wisdom mean and how can I get it? The Bible meaning of wisdom is this, a sum total of all moral and spiritual intelligence. It is giving thought through your ways, which includes all aspects of life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, in your relationship. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In Proverbs 2:1, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. How glorious it's to know that God gives us wisdom if we would only ask for it. And then he tells us that he wants to give it liberally to us without any sort of reproach. What does James say about it? About the wisdom of God? Look again at James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James had told us earlier that every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? Above. Every good gift is from above. The Christians look up to heaven. That's all for all his needs. That's where we look for everything. We look to heaven. We look to God's word. What is the Christian's wisdom? Do we look to the philosophy of the world? Certainly not. We don't look to the philosophy of the world or to the standards of the world or to the worldly wisdom. The two almost doesn't make sense, worldly wisdom. It doesn't even fit as far as I see it. But according to 1 Corinthians 1:24, Jesus is our wisdom. I love this. Colossians 2:3 says, in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And listen, godly wisdom comes from God's word. Read the first four chapters in the book of Proverbs. Read those, and they'll tell you where wisdom comes from and who gives it to you. But it tells us, what kind of wisdom does God want you to give? Look again at James 3:17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercies, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The wisdom of God is from above. It is the revelation of God's word given to holy men according to 1 Peter 1:20. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Paul said in Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration, or that is God breathed. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, the wisdom of God's word will make you pure. It'll make you holy. The idea behind the word here is chaste, free from defilement. God's wisdom leads to purity of life. And it tells us that God's wisdom also is peaceable. Man's wisdom leads to competition, revelry, and wars. But God's wisdom leads to peace. Ephesians 3:14 says, for he himself, meaning Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile to himself in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity or the law. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen. That is just amazing. He has broken down that wall that has separated and divided us. Jew and Gentile alike can come to him and we become one. It's amazing what God has given to us. We have access to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's wisdom also is gentle. This carries the meaning of moderation without compromise, gentleness without weakness. In other words, the gentle person does not deliberately cause fights. God's wisdom is willing to yield, it says. It is compliant and makes the believer easy to live and work with. Are you easy to live and work with? I hope so. Listen, the compliant person is willing to hear all sides of the question, but he does not compromise his own conviction. He can disagree without being disagreeable. God's wisdom is full of mercy. The person who follows God's wisdom is controlled by mercy. God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. And in his mercy, he does not give us what we do deserve. A good illustration of mercy is found in the story of the Good Samaritan. Just go through and read it. God's mercy in action. God's wisdom bears good fruit without partiality and without hypocrisy. People who are faithful are fruitful. People who are faithful are fruitful. Men who are faithful are fruitful in the Lord. The Spirit produces fruit in our lives for the glory of God. Jesus said in John 15:4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." There's the secret, guys. There it is for us all to see. How? Abiding in Christ. We abide in Christ, in his word. We abide in him, and he gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We abide in him, and we bear fruit. In fact, it says in John, it goes on to say that you'll bear fruit. You'll bear much fruit. You'll bear much fruit. That's what God wants us to be. He wants men to bear fruit for his glory and honor and kingdom. Then James concludes simply by saying in verse 18, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown." Because the fruit of righteousness is in your life, now you're sowing the seeds out there. You're preaching the gospel. You're sowing seeds of righteousness in the lives of others. You're doing it in peace by those who make peace. What a wonderful thing it is to see the Holy Spirit at work. I like what Jesus said. "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." He knows you. He knows your life. I hope and pray that you're walking in the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of his word. And it's demonstrated daily by how you're living. Amen? Father, we just thank you, Lord, and praise you for your word tonight. And pray, Lord, that you would have it to sink down deep into our souls. Have it sink down deep into our hearts, into our minds, Lord, that we might put feet to our faith. Lord, we depend upon you, Lord. We ask, God, that you'd fill us afresh and new with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to be men that is not walking in the ways of the world or listening to the counsel of ungodly wisdom of this world, but to be men that is walking in godly wisdom all the days of our life. For we need you, Lord, first and foremost, Lord, to produce much fruit in us. And we ask you to do so, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. We all agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.